Welcome back to the Preacher Podcast for the final episode in our series called Because He Lives. Of course, you can find out many more things about this series on the foundation materials. Probably you've been looking at that already, but take a look there for more info. Today, we have our two preachers with us for the final time, Pastor Steve Lang from Hope in Louisville, Kentucky, and Pastor Tom Unke from Shepherd of the Hills in Las Vegas. And we'll be talking about the Festival of Pentecost. Tom, could you give us a little info on this festival as it fits into our current series?
Sure. Greetings to all the brothers who are working for the big festival coming up this weekend. Because he lives, the overall Easter theme, which is kind of brought to completion here, as it says for Pentecost, Christ sends his Spirit, his Holy Spirit. So we remind, of course, the conversations Jesus had when he promised to send the Holy Spirit in the upper room, which is one of the readings, obviously, John 14. But even in the ascension, at the time of ascension, when they said, "Are you going to restore the kingdom now?" And he said, "No, just go and wait, and we'll get it all cleared up for you." And that's what's such a joy about the celebration of the Holy Spirit this Pentecost, is to be able to see this historical account of the fulfillment of those promises and to just see the incredible power of the message. And of course, it's not the words, it's the Holy Spirit working through that message. And it's a fun festival to preach on because it has everything to do with who we are as pastors and as a Christian church. So
It does. It does. Steve, could you give us a little bit on the other two readings for this Sunday?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. One of the miracles that took place on that first Christian Pentecost was the fact that the apostles were given the ability to speak in languages that they had never learned before. Our first lesson gives us the reason that that miracle was even necessary or possible. And that is where all these languages originally came from. We have Genesis chapter 11, the account of the Tower of Babel or Babel or however you want to pronounce it, with the people blatantly defying God and his very clear commands to scatter. And God says, okay, fine, I'm going to force you to scatter and I'm going to confuse all your languages. And so there we have the stage set for the reverse miracle that the Holy Spirit will perform on that day of Pentecost. Our gospel is again from Jesus' discussions with his disciples on the night before he died. We're in John 14, and Jesus promises to send his Holy Spirit on his disciples. And in that gospel, one of the things that I think connects with what we're going to be talking about in Acts chapter 2 is the fact that Jesus makes a very clear connection between us following him and keeping his word. The Holy Spirit is the one who is whom God is or whom Jesus is going to send. The means by which he works, one of those means is his word. And we're going to see that in what happens on that day of Pentecost as the crowd hears words about Jesus spoken to them in their native languages and also hears Peter quoting the word of God from the Old Testament and describing using words the work of Jesus and his work as a savior of all people, including the people to whom he's addressing.
Thank you. Let's then think about the text suggested for a Pentecost festival, Acts 2, 1 to 21, familiar section. A lot we could talk about here, and preachers maybe have preached on this before. But Tom, some thoughts for preachers to consider as they think about a sermon based on Acts 2.
Yeah, you're right. The narrative is filled with so many details of that event. And sometimes on a day like Pentecost, you end up preaching the event, talking about all the things that happened on that day and the circumstances that Luke gives to us. I just love the fact that now we are moving into the Pentecost season, and it talks about Jews from every nation under heaven were there. And that's just, again, shows how now was the time for the New Testament era. Now was the time for the Holy Spirit. And it starts with such a bang from a group of people gathering together in the upper room, not sure what was coming next, to all of a sudden, as Steve said, the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them. And we, of course, as Lutherans, recognize the whole concept of the means of grace and God choosing to limit himself to those special means. But it's a pretty special event to be able to preach on the whole thing. And to talk about the special gifts that God gave, and that those that lingered throughout the apostolic age. And then to remind one another that this same power that said, let there be light, is the one who makes his light shine in our hearts. That same power of the Holy Spirit is a great reassurance for Christians who take to heart the Great Commission and say, you know, I want to share the word of God, but maybe I don't know what to say, or maybe I don't know how to say it, or I won't be able to answer questions. I think it's good for us to remember, in the midst of our planning and our programs and all those sort of thing, we still have the most powerful weapon that there is, and that is the sword of the Spirit, where he does his work in the word of God. So that definitely needs to come out as we walk our way through the narrative and talk about the prophecy of Joel, not just of this day that Joel prophesied, but also the New Testament era when we men and women are prophesying the truth.
Right. Steve, thoughts on preaching this text?
There are a couple things that really jumped out at me this year preaching this text that I hadn't thought through quite as much before. You know, obviously in previous times preaching this text, you can talk a lot about the coming of the Holy Spirit on the apostles and the miracles that accompanied that. And, you know, I talked in previous years about, you know, kind of having Pentecost envy, where it's like, okay, why can't we have the sound of rushing wind accompanying, you know, what we experience in our weekly worship and things like that. But this time it struck me that it wasn't just the apostles that the Holy Spirit came upon. It may have the way in which the Holy Spirit came on them was accompanied by these special miracles, but through the word that was spoken by the apostles, and especially by Peter, the Holy Spirit also came upon at least 3,000 other people in that crowd that day. And that actually leads right into the other thing that jumped out at me, that that is something that was brought out, I think, in the commentary on the propers and in the foundation materials. Just the really, there's a focus on word and words here. You know, when Peter stood up, he didn't turn around to the apostles and lead them in prayer, asking God to send another sound of a rushing wind and more tongues of flame and more special abilities to speak in languages that they had not learned before, that those things should come on the crowd. He spoke to them. He spoke God's word to them. And although Peter's whole speech is not a part of our text, if you go through all of Peter's sermon, it is just filled with the word of God from the Old Testament. It's filled with words focusing on Christ. It starts with that quote from Joel, and then there's a quote from what comes next, Psalm 16, and then there's a quote from Psalm, I can't remember what the third quotation is. Yeah, there's Psalm 16, Psalm 104, is it? I gotta check that out. Psalm 110, just really focusing on using God's word and the power of God's word and the Holy Spirit working through that word in the hearts of these thousands of people, which obviously brings us back to, okay, that's still how the Holy Spirit works today. He still works through his word, still works through his word connected with water and baptism. He still works through his word connected with the bread and the wine and the Lord's Supper. Obviously, Lord's Supper is not referenced in the events of Pentecost, but, you know, just kind of expanding it for our people. We may not experience the sound of a rushing wind or being able to speak in languages we've never learned before, or tongues of fire being, you know, separating and coming to rest over people's heads. But God, the Holy Spirit, is still coming and working through his word, really the same way he did on that first Pentecost. And that was just something that I think I grew in my appreciation of in my study of this text this year.
Thank you. So as we think about applying this text to the lives of our listeners, Law and Gospel, what thoughts might you suggest for preachers as they go about thinking through some of those preaching values? Tom?
Yeah, I want to start with this concept that there's a couple Hebrew cultural things in there, that they're not drunk, it's only 9 a.m. So often people just think, well, it's too early in the morning for them to be drinking that much. But I don't remember where, but it's good to know what the culture was. The 9 a.m. was the first of the worship services, and Jews were not allowed to eat or drink before then. So he was basically saying we haven't even come to that point where they would have been drinking. But I also think you could almost use that thought, well, they're just drunk, you know, downplaying the amazing miracle that was happening, and maybe make some application there to go against our sinful nature, where we tend to downplay the role of the Holy Spirit. Even as pastors, or, you know, as people, recognizing God works powerfully in the message that we share, and God works powerfully in the amazing miracle of water connected with the name of the triune God. And sadly, the Christian church and many Christians have downplayed or rebranded who the Holy Spirit is. I think one of my biggest pet peeves is just what some evangelicals have done with the sacrament of baptism. It's a powerful thing to get the opportunity to baptize children and adults for that matter. And here in Las Vegas, outside of where people have grown up with baptism everywhere, we have so many baptisms here, many adults, and not everybody becomes a member of our church, but we still celebrate because it's a tool that the Holy Spirit powerfully uses to bring people to spiritual life, as Jesus taught Nicodemus. So one of the maladies could be underestimating the Holy Spirit in the means of grace for outreach, for personal growth, for guidance, all that sort of thing. Don't forget how powerful that word is, and don't ever feel defeated as long as we have that, you know, the word of God with us.
Yeah, Steve, you had mentioned the word standing out to you in this text. Thoughts related to that, perhaps?
Well, and then just kind of piggybacking on what Tom said, the means that God has chosen to use to carry out these powerful things look almost too simple. You watch a baptism happen, not a whole lot happens there. You go to the Lord's Supper, it's, you know, doesn't look like much is happening there. You look at the Word of God written on the page, it does not look all that impressive. When especially if we can see that God used these same, I think we get so caught up in the extraordinary, unique miracles of the day of Pentecost that we sometimes lose sight of the, I don't want to say ordinary miracle because that downplays it, but the more the miracle that we still can experience regularly today, which is the working of God, of the Holy Spirit through the Word in this text. And if we can help people to see that miracle here too, maybe that can help us also to see the miracles that are happening completely apart from the extraordinary sounds and sights and speaking in tongues. I think it is really easy for us to lose sight of the power, like Tom said. And when we lose sight of the power, that's when we start looking for other tools. And there are no other tools that work. Period. I mean, there's you can't, you know, it's not like if you're, you know, you don't have a big enough shovel for your garden, you go buy a bigger shovel. No, there are no other tools that God uses to grow his kingdom here. This is it. And just because they look simple and just because they may not work on the schedule that we would like, doesn't mean that they're not the only tools that we have. And I think I mentioned just kind of briefly the whole Pentecost envy thing. You get this text and, oh my goodness, they had 3,000 people were baptized that day. We have not had 3,000 people baptized in the history of our congregation. What's wrong with us? No, that's kind of not the point here. You know, it's the focus has to be on what is God, the tools that he's given us to use. And this was an extraordinary opportunity that the apostles had. And, you know, God blessed it. Just because we don't have 3,000 baptisms in the entire history of our congregation does not mean that God is not blessing us either. Right. It can be easy for us to get that kind of Pentecost envy and lose sight of the blessings and opportunities that God is giving us.
Definitely. Tom?
Just to the guys preparing this, if you have the Lutheran Study Bible on page 1835, which is right in the text of Acts 2, there's a really good article about the festival of Pentecost as it was in the Old Testament or in the ceremonial law. And one of the points, if you don't have it, just real quickly, the ceremony that of the waving of the, you know, the wave offering with the harvest festival that Pentecost was, insisted on that it was being, that it was spoken in Hebrew. And many of the foreigners didn't even know the Hebrew. So the priests had to kind of recite over the top of them and make them recite along. And the article just kind of talks about how refreshing it was for the people at the day of Pentecost to hear the message and not have that burden of having to speak a language that they didn't know. But all of a sudden they're hearing this powerful message in their own tongue. So I don't know if that's exactly what was on their mind, but I thought the article was definitely worth reading. I don't know if it comes up in a sermon, but just the fact that undoing the judgment of Babel by the Holy Spirit's power and how we still strive to do that. I have a daughter who's trying to learn Vietnamese right now because she's a missionary there, and it's impressive, but it's a huge barrier that God, the Holy Spirit, can work past with our efforts. So right. The other thing I was just going to put in there for Malady is, I don't know if the Joel quote has the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and Peter here calls it the great and glorious day of the Lord. Obviously different language, but there's law and gospel in both of those. The law that reminds that the day of the Lord is coming. But then the gospel is so clearly, it'll come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And so there's, even if you don't get into the rest of Peter's sermon, just the quote from Joel has that glorious gospel in it. So,
right. Yeah. The Joel, reading, I think as both of you have mentioned, it's not only predicting this day, but also the whole New Testament era. And Joel is with so many of the prophets, you know, he's compressing this whole era kind of into one from Pentecost to Judgment Day and kind of conflating those two together. But it's a good reminder, I think, you're right, Tom, that this is the final era of human history, that there's not another big one coming up yet. This is it. The word of God going out, The Messiah returning as victorious judge and savior, that's the next big thing we're waiting for, the end. So kind of it adds that sense of urgency, I think, to what's going on here at Pentecost, and bringing it up right into our day and age and our lifetimes too. This is the same message that's going out prior to Christ coming again in glory. Gospel emphases in the text, I think we've alluded to a couple already, but further thoughts on that you'd encourage preachers to bring out in a sermon? Steve?
This gets a little bit farther. It includes more of Peter's sermon, but what is the word that they're speaking? What is it about? Peter or Luke tells us that they were, they're speaking to us in of the wonderful works of God. I think we can say that they were doing more than just talking about how God created the world or things like that. I can think we can be pretty confident they were talking about what God had done in Christ. And I think if we go farther on in Peter's sermon past the end of this lesson, it's very clear that Christ is the center of everything Peter has to say here. And I guess that really gets to, okay, what is it about the word that makes it so special? How can the Holy Spirit, or why does the Holy Spirit use the word? Well, it is what points people to Christ. You've got that working of the Holy Spirit. He is so content to be in the background. It's almost like he's kind of going, this is speaking very anthropomorphically here, going out of his comfort zone to be so far, so much out in front here on this day of Pentecost. But then immediately he's like, oh, I've got your attention. Now let's talk about Christ here, because it is Christ who came, Christ who lived, Christ who was crucified, Christ who is risen again. Why does Peter bring in those two quotations from the Psalms? It is to back up what he's saying about Christ risen from the dead. The power of God's word really does lie in the fact that it is pointing everybody to what Jesus, the Son of God, who became a human being, lived, died, and rose again for us, did. And so there you've got, as you're talking about God, Holy Spirit working through the word, well, what is focus of all that? What is the focus of the word connected with water? It is again Christ, because as Paul points out in Romans chapter 6, baptism intimately connects us with Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection. What is the focus of God's word connected with the bread and the wine? Again, it's Christ. His body and his blood truly are there. We are connected with him in his suffering and his death, and the body and blood that were given and shed for our forgiveness. So all of this really points to Christ. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit, to point people to Christ. He is more than happy to be in the background and work through the word that points people to Christ.
Great. Tom?
I was just going to say too that on this particular historic event, the results of the Holy Spirit's work, of course, the baptism is a huge thing. But verse 37 is interesting too, because when the people were cut to the heart by what Peter had been saying, and their desperation is so clear in that one sentence, brothers, what should we do? It sounds to me like they're just, oh my goodness, what have we done? What can we do? That's the only thing they knew, was we got to do something about it. And then Peter preached the gospel of repent and be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Never underestimate how important it is that the Holy Spirit does that foreign work too, which is convicting hearts and leaving us desperate so that we can hear the wonderful message of Christ for us. So right. Holy Spirit's powerfully at work in the word for sure, but there's evidence there in 37 and following.
Right. Yeah, I had that thought too. You're going to need to bring in a little bit more of the story as you talk more about not just the apostles speaking to the crowd, but what they said. And it all comes back to Christ and what he has done for them. And then, yeah, the gospel of, and this is for you too. And it is right here, right now for you. Further thoughts for preachers on maybe application of these words or things of that nature, bringing the message of the Pentecost events into our day and age. I mean, some obvious ones for evangelism and mission work and things like that, but further thoughts, Steve.
We may, like I know I've mentioned this already, we may not have the extraordinary miracles of that first Christian Pentecost, but these miracles still are happening today. And I think it's really good for us to remind ourselves and our people of the ongoing miraculous work of the Holy Spirit through these very simple seeming means. And, you know, not losing sight or not feeling as if these tools are not good enough because they're not necessarily doing things in the way that we think they should be doing them or on the schedule that we think they should be happening. These are the tools. These are the ones that work. They're the only ones that work, and they do work. And God, the Holy Spirit, still is performing his miraculous work in us as he works, continues to work through his word, and then also using us as we take that very powerful word to others in whatever opportunities we have to share it.
Excellent. Tom, further thoughts for application?
I was just going to say on that same line, I think it's good to always, on Pentecost and as we live in this age, speak like conquerors, speak like victors. It's so easy to look around America and say, boy, Christianity's fading and we're losing the battle. But, you know, the gates of hell can't prevail against the powerful message that we have. And it's not because we're such a strong force of Christian warriors. It's because we have the power of the Holy Spirit. And I go back to the passage that talked about he who said, let there be light is the one who makes his light shine in our hearts. So power of God with us always, and encourage people to live like conquerors. We are more than conquerors.
Right. Same Holy Spirit is at work among us as was at work here in Acts 2 and on that day of Pentecost. Right. And as you've noted, Steve, the dramatic events, maybe the Holy Spirit isn't working that way among us, but word and sacrament are every bit as powerful. And therefore, right, we can go confidently with that message because of the power of the Spirit that is behind it and within it. Yeah, great reminders.
This Steve? Is just a side note, not necessarily for preaching, but if there are things that you can do just in your regular worship practice to draw people's attention to the baptismal font, or, you know, we have ours, our baptismal font is front and center where everybody can see it. And one of the things that I actually do is we have a silver pitcher that I fill with water. We always have water in the baptismal font, distilled water. And I always take some water from the font, put it in this pitcher that is sitting next to the font. And as I say the invocation at the beginning of the service, I pour water into the baptismal font so that people can hear it and see it. And it's just another thing that reminds people of this powerful thing that God is giving to us. That the Holy Spirit still uses to perform miracles day after day. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also just whatever you can do to draw attention to the Lord's Supper and just the extraordinary things that are there so that they don't become like things that we're so used to that we don't even notice that they're there anymore.
Right, right. Yeah. And, you know, people speaking in Acts 2, that's what is emphasized, as we've noted already. Ordinary people speaking, but when it's the power of the Spirit, working through them and through the message they share, extraordinarily powerful. So whether that's the pastor's words, as he is called to speak them in the context of worship, or the words that any believer shares, that's the power of the Spirit unleashed. Right. Further thoughts or thoughts to tie things together here, theme ideas, any suggestions for preachers as you kind of bring thoughts together? Steve?
For my theme, I kind of keyed off of the some of the thoughts that they had in the foundation materials about where Christ sends us the Spirit. Okay, where, how, where is the Holy Spirit found? And I kind of just expanded it a little bit and just took as the theme, find God in His Word. And that's where the crowd found God on that first Pentecost. That's still where we find Him. And just taking this opportunity really to highlight the fact that this miracle that took place on Pentecost among those thousands of people who heard those words still is happening today, among us, in us, and through us.
Thank you for that. Anything further on this text? If not, I just want to say thank you to you, Tom, and to you, Steve, for your service over this Because He Lives series. We've been blessed by your insights and hopefully spurred on to insights of our own as we've thought about these texts. But thank you for your work and for your service. Preachers, the Lord bless you as you proclaim the power of the Spirit, even as that very same Holy Spirit is working through you as you preach His message. God be with you.